Hello and welcome to Movies with My Dad, the podcast where I, film critic Tina Kakadelis, take my dad Stratus to the movies. This week we saw The Exorcism, directed by Joshua John Miller, and starring Russell Crowe, Sam Worthington, and Ryan Simpkins. Join us on the car ride home. It's recording now.
You sure?
Yeah. 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds. I can keep
Here
counting.
Here we go.
Okay, we watched The Exorcism. But do you think that, like, we should give a little synopsis for people? Just like a little baby one?
Could you?
Well, just like the generic plot point of like an actor, Russell Crowe, who's like struggling with addiction, mental health.
Oh, that's not what this
alcoholism, all kinds of things. His relationship with his daughter, makes a horror movie and then like becomes possessed by a demon. That's the plot of the movie.
That may have been the plot of the movie. That's not what the movie's about.
Okay, well, I'm just saying like that. Okay, we watched The Exorcism. You hated it.
I was bored. It really came down to the last 15 minutes. That's it.
That's how many most horror movies are.
That's why I don't like horror movies.
Okay, well, here's
the thing. I'm sorry, this really wasn't a horror movie. This was a master class in therapy. Somebody was working through some serious parent issues, child issues, abuse issues. It just went on and on and on.
To me, it felt like it had an identity crisis. Because for the first 30 minutes, I was like, oh no, I've been making fun of you all day about wanting to watch this movie. Am I going to come out really liking it? Because I did really like it. I thought they did like a really good world building and like genre building. And I loved the open set of the movie.
The dollhouse, basically?
Yeah. Yes, I loved that. I thought that was so interesting. And Russell Crowe didn't phone it in. He was going all for it. And I was really into it. Because I like that kind of horror that uses supernatural and thing like just the horror genre to talk about deeper issues. Like, that's really interesting to me and how they do that. But then it felt like they were trying to make it like a B horror movie that would appeal to like the people who just want to go and like the teenagers who want to get scared, you know?
I didn't understand why those stars were in this movie. Isn't Russell Crowe a little too big of a actor for this?
Maybe it really spoke to him.
This was like a B movie.
Well, it feels split. It feels like two things were mushed together.
You're right. It's like a high-end B movie. It's like somebody came to Russell Crowe and David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah.
And I don't is the woman
the teen?
The teen, yeah.
I got some issues about the ages of
this teen. She was supposed to be 16. Who is what's her name?
I don't know her name.
Oh, you don't know her name. So no. I feel like they came to them and said, this is a a groundbreaking interpretation movie, and maybe on the script it looked like it could be.
Right. Yeah.
And then in execution it just turned into a B movie?
Or studio rewrites that were like, we need to make this like more accessible and less cerebral and less like trauma heavy.
It was all trauma. Oh,
it was
gosh.
A lot. I didn't think they were going to go that deep, but then they did. A father-daughter movie, though.
It was a father-daughter movie. You got to find out if the writer was a woman or a man. But definitely a father-daughter movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which part of that would you have, do you connect with?
Probably when Russell Crowe as a demon said, kiss her, you fucking dyke, and I lost it. Yes. And then jumped out the window.
It was a comedy, you are right. How did he survive the fall out the window?
I don't know.
They never addressed that.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Oh my gosh.
How'd the first guy die?
The electricity crackled and he died.
Did we not know?
No, we don't know. We just know that he died. And I thought that was, like, interesting because it is this thing that keeps happening
that
on horror movies.
Quote-unquote horror movie, horrible things happen. But that's, like,
right.
The oldest
Well, some
studio.
Of it's true.
I suppose there is, but probably
I mean,
any
horror
movie.
Movies, they also just have, like, the eerie vibe, you know?
Well, but was it a horror movie?
I think so.
I feel like it was a mental exercise and not really a horror movie until the last 15 minutes.
Are they, other spooky stuff happened.
Not really.
He peed and it was really gross. Was,
yeah, but nothing. And could, at some point in that apartment of his, could you turn on a friggin' light?
It was a beautiful apartment.
It was,
though.
Oh my gosh, how dark could that entire thing be?
Well, that's the vibe of a horror movie.
I know, but if you had turned the lights on for three quarters of the movie and changed the music score to light bubbly, you wouldn't know it's a horror movie. Because very little happened. Well, all right, except for the Russell Crowe peeing when he was covered by the demon, sure.
Yeah, also,
but so much of it was just sort of a guy trying to come back from, you know, personal tragedy and trying to reconnect as an actor.
I liked it. And then he peed downstairs with nasty blood pee. And I was like, now we're...
There's no blood pee.
It was not the right color. Mm. It was not the color that pee should be.
Mm.
You should go to a doctor, I think. if it wasn't a red flag for you.
And well, that answers your question there. She climbed down four stairs to get to him peeing somewhere in the basement.
Right.
But when Russell Crowe falls out of the window, he's fine. And walks away, I guess, right? Because we never actually see.
No.
How did he get to the... And, oh, sorry. I'm going to completely different direction. What is the deal with the cold set? Why was that an important element?
The
what?
Why
they keep saying
it was
a cold set?
Cold set.
Why was that anything?
I mean, hot set is what they say when it's, like, filming.
When it's active, right.
Cold set, they're not using, but it looked like they could...
But
use
this
that.
Was technically a cold set,
right?
Because they were blowing cold air into it.
I don't know.
And what made that room with a bed in it a cold, needed to be cold?
I have no idea.
I guess
idea.
Maybe in the original Exorcist, it goes cold.
Okay, so that is
I
a question
that, is true. I
that,
think that
I
was
have.
From the original movie.
Is this supposed to be The Exorcist?
No, I think it's The Exorcist of The Exorcist as a movie with an exorcism in the movie about The Exorcist movie redo. Is that clear?
No. But I'm saying they called it like the Georgetown Project,
right,
or something. Wasn't The Exorcist,
yes,
in D.C.?
Yes, in Georgetown, yes.
Yeah.
So they're playing off of that.
So they're just trying to make us make that. And they had the young girl and her head was going to turn 360 degrees around.
Yes.
So they just want us to think that it's The Exorcist?
Well, they're using that as canon, I guess. And then Russell Crowe...
But they mention The Exorcist in the movie. When she talks about... When the actor, Blake, the young girl...
Right.
When she talks about... When she's getting sage, she's like... You hear about it happen on The Exorcist, the poltergeist, the omen and stuff. Do they not realize that they are just making The Exorcist again?
Well, maybe they... I think they did. It was codename, the Georgetown Project.
And you think that
I think
this
it was
going to
be Exorcist reboot.
In our world, The Exorcism didn't want to pay for rights to be connected to The Exorcist.
No, I think it was just a fun... It's not The Exorcist movie. They didn't redo The Exorcist movie. They made a play on The Exorcist movie.
No, but the characters in the movie are making The Exorcist.
No.
Yes, they are.
I don't believe so. I
her
believe
head turns all the
yes,
way around. She's
that,
in the bed.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought they were making a reboot of The Exorcist in the movie.
I don't know.
I no, because the time, well, obviously the time is not right. It's not 1960 or 74 or whatever that movie
I'm
was.
Saying it doesn't make sense what's happening. Also, speaking of things that don't make sense, if I was a young little lesbian, I would not be making out when my demonic possessed
father
is in the next room.
Two doors down.
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
Also, how old are they?
Right, because she's supposed to be 16 because she got kicked out of high school.
Right, and then
home.
The other girl
and
has her
actor,
own apartment.
The actress is right. She's, yeah.
Also,
25.
If I was the actress, I would not be sticking around for that. I'm sorry.
No. Right. She
I've
has
known
no
her
connection.
For like 11
right,
days.
Right.
No. I'm gone.
Let me help you with your father's exorcism of his demons.
Absolutely not.
And why didn't anyone freak out? I mean, they freaked out, but they didn't seem to do anything
when
about it.
When his back cracked like
when
that?
Yes. He literally gets possessed by a demon on set, and they're all like, cut.
Also, keep filming. That's good. You could have saved your movie. Like, I don't know what to tell you. This is why he's a failed director.
And then how did Russell Crowe get back onto set and jump through the back of the mirror to kill the understudy kid?
I think he teleports.
I think there's also a connection in there to the underlying world of Hollywood. So Russell Crowe is playing some... Well, all right. So the director is a complete SOB, mm-hmm. right? Who's bringing up the worst trauma, childhood of abuse that Russell Crowe has to get a better performance out of him, mm-hmm. which I feel like is a commentary on Hollywood, mm-hmm. right? And then Russell Crowe later, who is being outshined by the younger, in essence, his understudy, then kills him. Mm-hmm. Right? So is this also a movie about... So the whoever wrote this has a problem with Hollywood, has a problem with their therapist and therapy and the Catholic Church.
But then also came out like pro-Catholic Church at the end.
It sort of did.
So I don't really
Return
understand.
To Jesus movie, right? Okay.
I mean, I think that's what I said. Like, I think there it was really interesting, and I think it was shot well. Like, I liked it, and I liked Russell Crowe's performance a lot until he started, like, having to do just, like, his weird sleepwalking bit.
I still feel like three quarters of it were lacking. Just, it went slow for me. I checked my watch. There were a couple little pops here and there, but I really didn't find it that engaging until the end when activity started picking up.
So this is your second horror movie of the year.
What was the first one?
The First Omen. Remember we watched it?
I already forgot what that's about.
With my 90-year-old grandmother. We watched it at home.
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember it.
You didn't like it.
I think I probably was sleeping on the couch.
Okay. And you have a horror movie next week. How do you feel about the state of horror movies?
Wait, are you seeing another one?
Yeah, Maxine.
That's a horror movie?
What kind? The first two were. But you don't want to know anything about the first two. So.
I don't know. Should I watch the first two or just go into it blind? Have we already given up on this movie completely because we've moved on to
I'm asking
else?
Your opinion on the greater horror movie genre.
So far, I'm going to stick with my concept. I don't really want to go see horror movies. They're not that interesting.
Okay.
Find me an interesting. The closest one that I enjoyed, and I don't know if it's a horror movie, was that one with the demonic robot.
Megan?
I enjoyed that one. Good. But that was more like, you know, funny horror.
Yeah. You hated Scream, though, which is funny horror.
That was supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
Megan was not supposed to be funny.
I think they knew what they were doing.
Yes, campy.
Yeah. It's campy. It's very right. fun campy.
Now it's raining on us.
Oh, those poor people.
Walking in the rain without an umbrella.
Oh. They also look like they're dressed for wildly different temperatures. Okay, so you're not thrilled about the state of horror movies at present.
Is this indicative of the state of horror movies in present?
No. I would say this is not the finest horror movie.
What about
movie.
The one we saw with the horses?
The one we saw old Hollywood? With the horses?
Nope. Yeah, that
yes.
was it.
Yeah, Jordan Peele's great.
Didn't I like that one?
You fell asleep.
It was great.
And you keep saying that you want to rewatch it all the way through, but...
I think I liked the parts I was awake for, though. Didn't I? I think I yeah. came out and said I liked it.
Yeah.
I was tired.
You had fallen asleep through like an hour of it, though.
It was 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay, so anything further? You wanted to see this movie.
Okay, I completely misunderstood what the trailer was about. I thought Russell Crowe was a priest doing an exorcism, not an actor playing a priest doing an exorcism. I thought it was going to be I thought that'd be kind of interesting to see Russell Crowe as a priest. And he really, I got to give him credit for.
He was great.
100% into the character.
Yeah.
And even David Hyde Pierce, who I haven't seen him really do anything since Frasier.
I know him more from his 30 Rock guest appearances than Frasier. Okay, in case this rain is ruining all of the audio, how many what?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of how many what.
I was going to say Bibles, but that does feel wrong.
How many demons? How many...
How many...
Oh, how many power outages?
How many power outages?
That was really annoying. How many more times can the lights go out?
That's like a thing that demons love to do.
they do like their electricity.
They just love it.
I'll give it 2.
I think I would agree. Like a 1.5 to 2.
I would have gone 1.5, but I was feeling a little generous.
Wow, that's so kind of you. Okay, tune in next week for your next horror movie.
Wait, don't we get to see a Western first?
Yeah, the 3-hour Kevin Costner Western.
Couldn't be worse than this.
It's twice the length.
Twice the length. Goodbye, Tina.
Goodbye, Father. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Movies with My Dad. Join us next time when I take my dad back to the movies to see Kevin Costner's 3-hour Western epic, Horizon, an American saga. See you then.